Hello, friends. Denny Pruto here with Lesson 5 on the subject of biblical typology. In this lesson, we're talking about David as a type of Jesus Christ. As we've understood the subject of biblical typology in the previous lessons, we know that biblical types are established specifically by Scripture. Biblical types are designated by Scripture. And one of the ways biblical types are designated by Scripture is often with the use of simile. For example, in Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verses 15 and 18, the Bible tells us that God will raise up a prophet like Moses. And in the New Testament, we see that this prophecy with regard to raising up a prophet like Moses is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And so Moses is a type of Christ and designated to be a type of Christ specifically by the use of simile. But now what we find in the matter of David is that David is not designated specifically to be a type of Jesus Christ by way of simile. No, quite to the contrary. We don't find a formal comparison in the Bible between David and Jesus Christ, as we find this formal comparison between Moses and Jesus Christ. The Bible comes to us in an indirect fashion to indicate to us that David is a type of Christ. And to help you see this, I'm turning to two passages of Scripture in Ezekiel. First of all, Ezekiel 34 and Ezekiel 37. These are prophecies with regard to the future coming of Jesus Christ. And in these prophecies, David is named in the place of Christ. And when David is named in the place of Christ, we have a use of the figure of speech metaphor. Listen now to these two texts. First of all, Ezekiel 34 and verses 23 and 24. "And I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them, and he shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken." And you can hear the metaphor quite plainly where David is named in the place of Jesus Christ. The next text is Ezekiel 37, verses 24 and 25. "My servant David shall be king over them, and they shall have one shepherd, and they shall walk in my rules and be careful to observe my statutes. They shall dwell in the land that I gave to my servant Jacob, where your fathers lived. They and their children and their children's children shall dwell there forever. And David, my servant, shall be their prince forever." Again, in Ezekiel 37, verses 24 and 25, David is named in the place of Christ. And we have the use of the figure of speech metaphor. Now, it's very common for us to explain or interpret metaphors by utilizing another figure of speech, the simile. And so in this case, what would we say? We would say that Jesus Christ is like David. Jesus Christ is like David in that he is a king and a shepherd over God's people. And so we use the simile to explain the metaphor. And you begin to see the interplay between these two figures of speech. Now, what is a simile? A simile is used in a parable, and parables are extended similes. And I want you to see this by turning to Matthew 13, verses 24 and following. And what we'll see is that parables, which are extended similes, are explained by metaphors. You see here the table is reversed. In the case of Ezekiel 34 and Ezekiel 37, the metaphor, that is, David put in the place of Christ, is explained by utilizing a simile. Jesus Christ is like David. So let's first look at the parable and then see how Jesus Christ explains the parable, which is an extended simile, with the use of metaphors. So we turn to Matthew chapter 13 and verses 24 and following. He put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed seed in his field." Or we may translate it this way: "The kingdom of heaven may or is like a man who sowed good seed in his field." You hear the simile. There's a formal comparison here. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who went out and sowed seed in his field. Now, a parable is a story that can actually take place. A man can go out into a field and actually sow seed in his field. And so we have this parable. Continuing on in verse 25. "But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' So his servants said to him, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them?' But he said, 'No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At the harvest, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barns.'" And so we have the extended simile, which is a parable. Now dropping down to verses 36 and following in Matthew 13, Jesus gives us an interpretation of this parable. "Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field.'" Now, how does Jesus explain the extended simile? He uses another figure of speech. He uses the figure of speech metaphor. Listen. "Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field." He answered, "The one who sows good seed is the Son of Man. The sower is the Son of Man." The sower is put in the place of the Son of Man in the parable. The use of metaphor. The field is the world. The field in which the seeds are sown is the world. The field is put in the place of the world. The use of metaphor. And the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The good seed sown in the parable is put in the place of the sons of the kingdom. Again, the use of metaphor. The weeds are the sons of the evil one. The weeds are put in the place of the sons of the evil one. Again, the use of metaphor. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The enemy in the parable who sowed bad seed in the field is the devil. The enemy in the parable is put in the place of the devil. Again, the use of metaphor. And so you see that the extended simile, which is a parable, is explained by the use of metaphors. This is just the opposite of what we saw when we looked at Ezekiel 37 and Ezekiel 34. We explained the metaphors in these prophetic texts with the use of simile. And so you see the interplay between metaphor and simile. Now, let's add another piece to the puzzle here and go back to Ezekiel 37 and verse 24. Ezekiel 37 and verse 24. My servant David shall be king over them, and they shall have one shepherd, and they shall walk in my rules and be careful to observe my ordinances or my statutes. David is put in the place of Christ. And David, or I should say Jesus Christ, is like, you see, use of simile, is like David in being a shepherd and a king. And so again, we have the metaphor, David in the place of Christ, put in the place of Jesus Christ, and we interpret the metaphor with a simile. And here's the thing that we need to get. Similes, parables, and types are one family. Similes, parables, and types are formal comparisons. Parables are extended similes, and types are like similes in that they establish formal comparisons. And in this case, the formal comparison we're dealing with is David as a type of Christ. And we've already said in interpreting the prophetic text in Ezekiel 37 that the metaphor is interpreted with a simile. That is, Jesus Christ is like David. And so what do we have? Well, let me read you a quote from William Greenhill in his commentary on Ezekiel, when he speaks about texts like Ezekiel 34 and Ezekiel 37, which name David in the place of Christ. Listen to what he has to say. In all those places is Christ called David because he was a type of Christ. You see, the metaphor is explaining the type. This is the idea. As I have in point 5 on my whiteboard here, Scripture explains the already existing type by using a metaphor. Why does Ezekiel 34 and Ezekiel 37 put David in the place of Jesus Christ? Why does the Holy Spirit use a metaphor in these places? Well, the idea here is that Scripture, the Holy Spirit, is explaining the already existing type by using a metaphor. This is the idea. Just like Parables, which are extended similes, are explained with metaphors. And because similes, parables, and types are in the same family, types that already exist are explained by the use of metaphor. And this is the idea in the usage of David in the place of Christ in Ezekiel chapters 34 and 37. So in an indirect way, the Bible establishes that David is a type of Jesus Christ. Let me put it this way. Similes are formal comparisons. And so in a direct and formal way, the Bible does not establish that David is a type of Jesus Christ. Metaphors, on the other hand, are implied comparisons. And so the Bible, in an indirect way, using David in the place of Jesus Christ, gives us an indication that David is a type of Christ. And when we examine the use of metaphor, we discover that Scripture explains the already existing type with the use of a metaphor. And so the idea that we began with in Lesson 1, that the Bible always designates biblical types, that biblical types are always designated in Scripture, is upheld in this case. And David, the person, is a type of Jesus Christ, who is a person. Types are always persons, offices, institutions, or events. David, who is king and shepherd, is a type of Jesus Christ in the offices of shepherd and king. Jesus Christ is shepherd and king. Types always look forward to something in the gospel age and Jesus Christ. And in this case, David looks forward to Jesus Christ. And finally, types are prophetic. That is, when David comes on the scene as a type of Christ, this guarantees the fact that Jesus Christ will come on the scene as the answer to the type or the anti-type. And so what we have in this lesson is that in an indirect way, via the metaphor, Jesus or David is designated in Scripture as a type of Jesus Christ. Thanks for listening.